Good morning. Good morning, Darren. I like being acknowledged. Hey, my name is Heath. He's here. Okay. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and I have a few things before we get started. One is that this is your first Sunday, still awkwardly in your seat. There is a connection card. And what that is just a way that you can let us know that you are here. Let us know things that you may need or questions. And at the end of service, if you'll drop this in our lovely, looks like a toolbox for a truck, but standing upright, that box right there. And we also have a black one on the front desk. If you'll drop that in there, we'll send you a letter letting you know, one, that we appreciated you being our guest today, and two, some other ways that you can get connected to the church. We promise that we're not just going to show up at your house unexpected. I mean, you can ask, hey, I'd love a visit, and we will come, but we're not just going to show up. So that's the extent of it. If you've seen that and you ignore it every week and you are aggravated that it's sitting on your seat, do not think it's not for you. It's also a way, if you've been here forever and you just need a way to communicate something that's going on in your life via a prayer request or some other need, that is a great way for you to communicate with us, and you can put that in the box on your way out. Big, big, important news for next week. We won't be here. So please, pretty please, I mean, there's nothing going to ruin your Christmas morning more than being excited and going to church and the gate being locked. So please, please, don't show up next week. We will not be here on the 25th. We will be here on the 1st. So please, please, show up on the 1st. It's risky, I know, because it is the 1st. And the night before, Jody was like, hey, we should have some in our house. And I'm like, I gotta get up early the next morning. So needless to say, we probably won't be partying hard at the Cadell house. I'll go to bed at a reasonable time. So we will be here on the 1st at our normal time. If you are interested in giving any year-end gifts, meaning like you want something to be in this year, it physically needs to be here today, or you have until the 31st through our website to give online. So if you want to give something and it be in this calendar year and you don't have it today, you can still give online, and it postmarks the date. So as long as it's dated on the 31st, then you're good. It will go in 2016. If not, no worries. So we have been, the last couple weeks, been praying for church. This is the season that people are more apt, because they're visiting family and they're around family, to go to church when they primarily may not go to church. And so over this next week, as we enter in, a lot of churches aren't necessarily having church on the 25th, but churches will be having Christmas Eve services, and it is a grand opportunity for the gospel to be preached, for the mission and kingdom of God to be expanded. So we just want to pray for all the churches in this area that are going to be doing Christmas Eve services. We look forward to the day that we have a facility that we can have a Christmas Eve service, but until then, sorry. We did do one on our property last year, and we realized that it is very risky in the end of December to do something outside uncovered. So we're not doing that this year, but we just want to pray for all those churches, so join with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that, Lord, there's a season that our whole world is talking about you indirectly. Lord, we're thankful that right now, like, people don't even understand when they say the word Christmas, that it's more Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use that opportunity in us to speak the name of Jesus, to speak the hope of Jesus, to speak the delivery of your promise into this world for us. And Lord, we just want to lift up every single church that's going to be meeting in Brunswick County and New Hanover County over this week, that are going to be having Christmas Eve services, that are going to be lifting the name of Jesus, celebrating the birth of our Savior. And Lord, I pray for every single person that's going to walk indoors, maybe for the first time this year, Lord, I pray that they would hear the good news. Lord, that they wouldn't enter into just a religious service, but Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of men. And Lord, that you would call sons and daughters to you during this season. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you give us every opportunity to proclaim your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is our last week in our alignment series. Just to kind of pre-warn. I mean, that sounds like it's a negative. It's not a negative. It's a super exciting thing to pre-energize for what's coming up in January. So every January, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Like, please don't, like, leave the church. You'll be like, I'm not into fasting. Okay, just calm down. We're not taking, like, we're not going to follow you home and make sure that you are fasting certain things. But what we are going to call our church to, and what we do every January, is we believe that January, just like it is a new year, it is a time for refreshing. It is a time to be intentional, because it's in our minds anyway, of thinking of the new year and thinking about, like, I want to make changes. And we want to take our attention away from, you know, not that losing weight and, you know, breaking bad habits are negative things, but we want to focus our intention on what's going to benefit us the most, which is realigning ourselves with Jesus during January. And so we're not starting on the first, on the Sunday, I think is the 8th. We'll officially start our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And that's going to mean a lot of different things. And I'll talk about this more specifically on the first, but just kind of pre-excite you guys about it. About said warn again. Like, but just to get in your mind over the next 2 weeks, like, what is God, what can I give up over 21 days that is not going to distract me because I'm giving it up, but is going to help me focus in on Jesus? And so the first and the 8th, we will talk more specifically about what it means to fast, from whole fast to partial fast to media fast. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do just to kind of intentionally pull ourselves away from things that are draining us and plug ourselves into the things that give us life. So that's coming up in January, so just get your minds there. And so here's my promise. Here's my hope. Promise is I want 30 minutes of your time to talk about the birth of Jesus, springing off of what we talked about last week in Luke 1. We're going to be in Luke 2 and actually talking about the delivery. And actually the title of my message today is called A Promise Delivered. This is why we celebrate. Not because we've created in our culture a system that we spend lots of money and go into debt to give people gifts that will be in the garbage at some point. Literally, everything that we buy and treasure now, other than the people that we surround ourselves with, will be gone. It will be a thing of the past. It will be last. It'll be outdated before you know it. And we want to really focus on what God was doing in and through the birth of Christ. And it's not just the celebration of, like, here is the baby, but it is the beginning of the delivery of the promise of God. And for thousands of years, God has been promising he would do something miraculous. And we're not going to go through all of these, but there are 353 prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 353 different proclamations about what he would be like, where he would be born, how he would be born, what line he would be in. 353 prophecies at least 200 years before the birth of Christ. Some thousands of years before the birth of Christ, waiting for the delivery. And I heard this a couple of years ago, and if Jesus only fulfilled 8 of those, let's talk about probability. I'm not a math person, so if I get this slightly wrong, please, like, forgive me. Probability, if Jesus only fulfilled in himself 8 of the 353, it would be like, and I'm a picture guy, like, I like to think about it physically instead of, like, if I told you it was 10 with 17 zeros behind it, that was the probability that he would fulfill 8 of them. Like, that, you know, that sounds like a lot of zeros, but it doesn't really kind of get into our brains. But so let's look at it this way. That if that 10 to with 17 zeros on it were silver dollars, and they were put and spread over the whole state of Texas, it would be 2 feet high of silver dollars. So the probability of Jesus fulfilling 8 of the 353 prophetic words would be like filling Texas with silver dollars 2 feet tall over the entire state, taking one of those silver dollars, putting a mark on it, coloring it black, whatever you wanted to do, and you going and hiding it somewhere in the state under other coins, and you get a guy, you put him on the edge of Texas, and you blindfold him and say, you can go wherever you want. You can walk as far as you want, but when you reach down and grab that one coin, that's the only choice you get. The probability of Jesus fulfilling 8 of those would be like that man starting at the edge of Texas and walking to the exact spot, reaching down into the silver dollars and pulling out that one coin. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's just 8. That's not 353. And my whole hope for today in talking about this is that Jesus keeps his promises. Like God the Father was declaring that Jesus was going to come. As early as Genesis 3:15, he declared, speaking to Satan, that your offspring will bruise his heel, but then speaking to the woman, but her offspring, talking about Mary, will crush your head. From Genesis 3:15, God had a plan to set things in motion. And so we're just going to read through, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke 2, and I'm going to read through verse 1 through verse 20. And this is the delivery story, the birth of Jesus story that you have, if you've been in church more than a minute, you've heard over and over and over again. And my hope is to look at it from a little different perspective. So starting in verse 1, it says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when, I'm just going to say whatever his name is, the Q guy. Q guy, who was governor of Syria, just forgive me, like, it's better sometimes when I don't pronounce it. If you've got a phone app, you can listen to the audio and it'll say it correctly. But in this moment, we're going to say Governor Q of Syria. This is the first time the registration happened, and so all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Okay, two words already. These are two prophetic things that were declared over the Savior. So what's crazy about this is one of them was that he would be born in Bethlehem. His family wasn't even, they were from Bethlehem, but they weren't living in Bethlehem. And so God, in all his sovereignty, decided that, hey, I'm just going to show you how in control I am. I'm going to implant my son in Mary, in another city, and all these people are going to be like, no, that ain't him. You know, if it got out before he was born, like that, because they don't live in Bethlehem, so he cannot be the Messiah. So, unbeknownst to everybody, God put it in the heart of Caesar, you better count your people. You're great. Could you imagine how many people you rule? You should count them so that you could say, I have the largest empire ever. So something in the heart of Caesar forced him to do a count of all the people. And in doing so, you had to go to the town where your family was from so that you could be counted. So God did all of that in the heart of an evil, wicked man so that Joseph and Mary would be in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. And another prophetic word was that he would be of the lineage of David. So hear Luke, who is writing this to a non-Jew, explaining the prophetic words. He's putting in the language that would make sense of who Jesus is. In verse 5 it says, to the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, still weren't married at this point, who was with child. Now, and we talked about this a little bit. Like, at this point, Joseph and Mary weren't married. And everybody else knew they weren't married, but Mary was with child. Remember what we were talking about last week? This idea of us carrying the promise. Us carrying the promise of Christ is going to cost us. I mean, Jesus even said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Like, there will be a cost in following and keeping the promise, which is Jesus, inside of you. And so they walked into this town, Joseph still right beside his bride, because God appeared to him in a dream and said, like, you won't marry that girl. Just, okay, let's just keep it Christmas. Okay. I'm really sorry. Okay. And the time came for her to give birth. Verse 7, it said, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in an inn. One of them actually said that he would be born into poverty. I mean, like, this is God making a point of, this is the promise. This is our hope. This is our future. And verse 8, it says, and in the same region where there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock at night, and then the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. We talked about this last week when angels show up. Like, getting like, hey, buddy. Like, man, I've been waiting. Can I get a selfie? You're not asking an angel for a selfie. Like, you're laying on the ground, be like, are you here to kill me? And so they're terrified. They're out in the field. And, of course, they're afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was suddenly with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory, glory in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I mean, I know we've got our little speakers that we can carry around with us, and they sound pretty good, but, like, can you imagine? Like, there was no technology. Like, David, back in the day, like, a harp was the best you're going to get, and here they are in the middle of the nowhere, and they get, like, this. The song breaks out and declaring it. And one cool thing that I've talked about, that every time I've referred to this is something that would not happen. So for us that kind of struggle at times with, like, you know, is the Bible legitimate? You know, was it, you know, recorded by men to stir our affections to nothing? Let me just, you know, and this is not exhaustive, but one thing that you would not do if you were making up a story about a coming king who was going to be the Messiah, you would not have the first appearance of angels to notify, outside of Mary and Elizabeth and their families, to notify the coming king to the shepherds. The shepherds were filthy, dirty people that could not even come into and participate in temple worship. They weren't able to give testimony because they were untrustworthy in the court system. I mean, this was not the people that you would find to be the messengers of who this child is. And I love this. It says, I'm going to go back up to 10. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, it says, for unto you is born this day. Like, this isn't the prized possession, these people. This is the beauty of everything that we see in the gospel, and the hope that we get to look at now is that God did not come for the perfect and the clean and the righteous. God came for the excluded. I mean, David, who is, you know, the king of choice, who they honored and loved and were waiting for a king to replace him. Like, David was put into the fields as a shepherd. And when, you know, the prophet came in to anoint the next king, his dad didn't even call him in. Like, this is the thought of, like, the shepherd, the young, you know, just leave them out there. And so in verse 14, it says, the glory of God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. In verse 15, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, of course, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, left their flock in the field, and went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Like, this is what changes our world in the gospel. Is that we aren't hoping for a deliverance just in the future. That God came to give us deliverance. Now, God came to literally be God among us and God with us. And we get to sing songs today, and I'm not sure that they really have the power that they should to literally mean that God is with us, like literally right now in this room. It says where two or three are gathered, the presence of God is here. Like, the holiness that Moses couldn't even see, but the backside of, a piece of, God has given us access to. And see, the great part, and what I want to land on, and really for us to kind of walk away with, is this, that what God has spoken, He will deliver. Like, if God has promised freedom, God will deliver freedom. In John 14, I think it's verse 5, he's talking about, it's his last kind of message, 14, 15, 16, when he's speaking to his disciples. He's really pouring everything that he can into them before he leaves them forever. And in verse 14, he's like, I'm going to build a house for you. And why would I tell you that I'm going to build a house if I wasn't going to return? See, our promise is, and what really should motivate us every day, is that God will, is, and forever will be keeping His promise. God the Father will return here. He will. I know our world's crazy. I mean, I know if you turn on the TV, if you read news, if you, you know, we're alive during our political, whatever we want to call it. Our world's, it seems out of control. And I think sometimes we can get so dismayed by how out of control things seem that we forget that the same God that stirred Caesar, who is the grand emperor of Rome, to count his people just so his son would be born in the city of David. That same God has not disappeared after Jesus, just leaving us this little gift of the Holy Spirit. But literally the word, I think it's in Romans 8, it says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in us. The same power that brought Jesus into the world, the same power that kept him from staying in that grave and released him from those shackles and gave us freedom, is living in us. And what motivates us during this holiday is not that Jesus came into our world, which is awesome, but that God is a promise keeper. And he kept that promise. And I know it seemed like it was 2,000 years of promises leading up to Jesus. And I know that it has been 2,000 years since Jesus was here. But God is so merciful that he is allowing us to live in a place that he hasn't returned. And let me, I know that seems like everybody that's like wanting to see God set the world straight just like the Jews did of the day. If God returns right now, there are those on our planet that won't be with him. Because when he returns, the option, well, everybody's going to bow the knee, but the option of choosing lordship changes. Well, right now, we get to live in a place that we're carrying the delivered promise. And when we walk in and have conversations with people, we know that God will deliver on his promises. And he is right now waiting for his appointed time. And until he returns, he gives us opportunity every day for people that we know to say yes to him and their life be forever changed. And I know that over the next 10 days, you're going to enter into one of the most volatile mission fields you may ever go on. For those that have perfect families and you just miss that whole thing, then praise be the Lord. But for everyone else, like, life is getting ready to get really complicated. You're going to be around people that sometimes you choose not to be around. And imagine if we had a new perspective about their availability to be awakened to the gospel of Jesus. Imagine if our hope was so rich that we would ignore all of their intentional pokes and intentional aggravations and intentional political statements and all the things that they just want to stir our anger. Imagine if our hope was so anchored in Jesus that there's a hope in us, a peace for all of those. I mean, imagine our world if we didn't let their words influence us as much as the words that Jesus has already spoken over us. Like, I just commission you guys to use this next week to proclaim the message of Jesus. Because he is our good news. I'm going to have our worship team come back up. Man, good. Woo! So just like last week, I just want to anchor us in this idea. What promise are you banking on? Are you banking on the promise that money or success or even your healthy life gives you? Are you banking on a guaranteed? Actually, the word says that he becomes, the Holy Spirit becomes our guarantor of our inheritance. Are we trusting in that? Because the beauty of all of this, the beauty of the good news is there's nothing that you can do to earn Jesus. Like, we can't look around the room and go like, well, they're better than me because they don't do what I do, because you know yourself and you think, well, it's easy for Jesus to interact them. Actually, the ones that were so far from Jesus had the greatest response to the gospel. Realize the goodness of the good news of the gospel and allow that to influence you over this next week. And start kind but maybe awkward conversations that leads to the cross. Not out of winning, meaning they lose, we win, but out of loving. So let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you that, Lord, you've created these days. Lord, we're not worshiping something dead, something created by the hands of man, but we are worshiping a plan that you have set in motion from the beginning of our existence. And Lord, I pray that we would have faith that you will do exactly what you have promised. And Lord, I just pray for every single person in this room that you would just commission us to believe that you are stronger than every person's argument. You're stronger than our lack of knowledge. You are stronger and more influential than any thing that we can say. And Lord, I pray that we would trust in you. And Lord, we just declare that you will deliver on your promises. And Lord, I pray that you would make us just like Mary, that you would help us treasure in ourselves who you are. Just as Mary treasured what the shepherd said about the boy that she had just delivered, and how that confirmed what you had already spoke to her, Lord, I pray that we would treasure who you are in us right now. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've given us opportunity over the next 10 days to love people, to serve people. Lord, I pray that our actions and our attitudes would be a reflection of your grace and mercy that you have given us. And we pray these things all in the mighty and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.